order. I'll open a work session on Senate Bill 572. This bill would require the governor to appoint the directors of the Department of Environmental Quality, Forestry, and Fish and Wildlife, and subject those appointments to Senate confirmation. We have heard from Pat Amadeo, representing the governor's office, that he opposes the bill strongly. We have heard from Associated Oregon Industries that they oppose the bill strongly. We have heard from the Oregon Forest Industry Council that they oppose the bill strongly. And we have just heard from Oregon AFL-CIO that they oppose the bill strongly. However, it may be a difficult bill to pass. However, it has been decided that this issue merits discussion on the floor of the House. Therefore, I would call on Representative Cease.
Chairman, I move the approval and passage to the floor of Senate Bill 572.
Representative Cease moves Senate Bill 572 to the floor with a do-pass recommendation.
Mr. Chairman.
Discussion. Representative Parkinson.
If we're just going to send it to the floor with, for purposes of discussion, maybe we send it out. Should send it out with no recommendation.
Or, Mr. Chair.
I think there probably are sufficient. There probably would be for sufficient votes to send it out with a do-pass recommendation with vote explanations. Representative Trahern.
Well, there's always the other option of a do-not-pass recommendation.
I think it has been decided that it deserves a clear chance on the floor.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Trahern.
I thought that decision was made by the majority of the members of this committee, not by others.
That's right. I'm sure that the majority of this committee will consider the source of the decision and comply.
Mr. Chairman, I'm beginning to think when I agreed to this, I didn't quite know what I was walking into, but I seem to have a penchant. Either my bills get no votes at all, or they come very close and they're defeated. So with that.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Anderson,
is this a procedural vote?
very nearly that, Representative Anderson. Representative Burroughs.
It's my understanding that there's a variety of people who would like a meaningful dialogue on the House floor discussing this issue.
That is correct, and I am willing to accede to that request.
Part of that came from God, and part of it from my tea leaves, and part of it from other sources.
Does anyone want to enter any vote explanation,
Mr. Chairman,
before the River Hill?
With to benefit the discussion on the floor, because this is an important issue, I will support the motion. However, I reserve my right to vote as my conscience dictates on the floor once it gets there.
Thank you, Representative Hill.
I like that.
Oh, well, let's just go down the line. Representative Ickes, have you any comments?
No.
Representative Trahern.
Mr. Chair, I don't have to explain my vote. I know where I'm at.
Representative True.
I'm complying with the Speaker's request, and I'll vote to send the bill to the floor of the House with a do-pass recommendation, but I'm not committing my vote on the floor. I'm still open.
Representative Anderson.
It's got a great relating clause.
Relating to state government. Representative Cease.
Does this mean when it gets on the floor, I'm left standing alone?
It is an important policy question, the organization of state government. As Senator Hanlon pointed out to this committee, these agencies are three of the four agencies that are different than other executive branch agencies. The reasons for that ought to be discussed on the House floor, so you will have my support to that extent.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Anderson.
I believe Representative Troop just had a call to the governor's office.
Yeah, excuse me, Mr. Chairman.
No, you. Julie, get the rope.
The rope or the rope?
That's how you count.
Mr. Chairman.
No, Representative Troop.
Call for the question.
Thank you, Representative Troop. Julia?
Representative Anderson?
No.
Aye. Representative
Cease?
Aye.
Representative
Ickes?
Aye.
Representative Hill?
Aye.
Representative Parkinson?
No.
Representative True?
Aye.
Representative Trahern?
No.
Chairperson McCrum?
Aye.
Well, Motion carries. Representative Cease, would you agree to carry the bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your support.
Representative Anderson.
Notice of possible NR report.
All right. Representative Trahern.
I also will serve notice of possible.
All right. So noted.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Troop.
What about Fred?
No. Thanks.
Big chance, Fred.
I'll open a work session on Senate Bill 433. The chair would move adoptions of the one amendments? You don't have them. Everyone had them because they were passed out. They are handing gross. 433. 433. Where are they? We have Legislative Council amendments to Senate Bill 433B engrossed. Please find them.
Don't have copies.
I don't have any.
They're not here.
I ordered them, and they were before the committee last time we heard the bill.
Mr. Chairman.
Was it true?
Is the senator from Springfield the sponsor of the amendments?
No. The effect of the amendments, there are one-line amendments which simply say that the Senate Bill 433 should return to its A engrossed version. The effect of that would be to strip from Section 5 onward.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Trahern.
I do have the A engrossed version. I think that'll work.
It is, yeah. That would be the intent of the motion, would be to return the bill to the A engrossed version.
I would so move.
Representative Trahern moves to amend Senate Bill 433B engrossed to return it to its A engrossed form. Is there any objection to that motion? Adopted.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Trahern.
I will move. Can I call it A engrossed?
Yes.
Senate Bill 433 as amended by this committee to the floor with the due pass.
Right. Representative Trahern moves Senate Bill 433B as amended by this committee to the A engrossed version to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Discussion? Julia.
Representative Anderson?
Aye.
Representative Burroughs?
Aye.
Representative Z?
Aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Motion carries. Representative Trahern, would you be kind enough to carry the bill?
Sure.
Thank you very much. Now open a public hearing on, well, before I do that, for those of you who are waiting for 868, there's a good chance we won't get to it. Open a public hearing on Senate Bill 793. And let's, to start off with, I'd like you to observe a Channel 8, KGW-TV, videotape. It was from a news broadcast that was shown Wednesday evening. The reason for showing it is that I'd like the committee to have an opportunity to take a look at the area that we're discussing. It's an area that I personally visited a couple of weeks ago. Very much enjoyed the trip, the scenery, the historic artifacts.
Through a remote section of the Cascade southeast of Salem flows a river called the Little North Fork of the North Santa Yam. Before the state legislature adjourns this spring, it will decide whether the river should be protected as a so-called scenic waterway. Timber interests sharply oppose parts of the plan. Walden Kirsch has tonight's story of the small river with the big name.
On the scale of Earth history, it is a relatively young river. Still, in about 20 million years, the Little North Fork of the North Santa Yam has cut a deep swath through the Oregon Cascades. Stands of old growth and virgin timber fill the valley. Below, the river drops more than 3,000 feet in about a dozen miles.
I love it. I work right up here, and it's nice to be able to get off work and come down here and in the summer sit down and go swimming, or sometimes just sit and look at that river and just let all the worries of the day go down the river with you, or to take my fly pole and throw it in there and catch a few fish.
But Georgia Tia is not the only one who loves this valley. Commercial interests have been lusting over it as well. One of the biggest squabbles here is over timber. Lumber companies see money in these woods. Folks who want to preserve the watershed say that logging would muddy one of the clearest streams in Oregon. The drive to keep the lumber companies from clearing this valley has turned into nearly a full-time job for Georgia Tia. A geologist and nephew of the governor, he runs a small mining camp near the edge of the Little North Fork. What Atia wants is for the state to formally declare the river a scenic waterway, like the Rogue and Deschutes and others. This would preserve the valley in its current state. Notably, Atia is also fighting to extend state protection to several of the Little North Fork's tributaries, like Opal Creek here. This whole area is a national forest. The riverbed, the trees, the land are all federally owned.
They're using a state scenic waterway program to stop a federal timber sale. That's one bad precedent.
My position is that the Forest Service of the federal government controls 51% of the state, and I think it's the state has a legitimate right to put input into what happens on the lands inside the state, whether we own them or not.
We've got a problem. If we're going to go up into these little creeks and tributaries like Opal Creek and East Fork of Opal Creek, that means you've just changed the definition of a scenic waterway to any creek in the state of Oregon can now become a scenic waterway.
And what would be wrong with that?
Well, you would no longer have any logging allowed.
Well, the timber industry, I think, has decided to take a stand that if they give an inch, they're going to end up losing a mile, and I don't think that's the case.
And so the argument goes. Timber companies are more or less happy with the status quo here. They want no new laws to make business tougher than it already is. On the other hand, the preservationists, who, if they are going to worry about money, would rather compete for the recreation dollar. They say it's wrong these days to be clearing an unspoiled drainage. The politicians in Salem will have to sort this all out. I'm Walden Kirsch, News 8.
The bill to declare the Little North Fork of the Saniam a scenic river will be considered by the House Environment Committee in Salem on Friday. 200 years ago, a law was passed that continues to affect...
Mr. Chairman, Representative True.
Is today the Friday?
This is the Friday.
So it was a recent...
It was broadcast Wednesday. I'd like to call Bob Potter.
It's us.
Us politicians. We're the politicians. There's the timber interests. There's Georgia Tia.
There's George.
Uh-huh.
There's the...
There's Al.
Is Dick Lusting over there?
Yes, please come forward, Mr. Potter. Welcome, Mr. Potter, to the committee. To refresh the committee's memory, we did receive a letter from Mr. Potter and distribute it to committee members. So Mr. Potter formerly administered the Scenic Waterways Program for the Department of Transportation and had taken the trouble to develop additional amendments and had gone through some of the arguments that were raised. So perhaps, Mr. Potter, you could review the main points in your letter and then be available to answer some
sure.
questions.
Obviously, I'm favorable to the bill. I did not prepare a statement of support, but I'm certainly prepared to try to answer any questions about the history, the early history, and the intent of the Scenic Waterways Act. I was asked a week ago by supporters, knowing I'm favorable to this program, to speak to some legislators about the bill. And as I stated in the letter, I picked up several obvious concerns which I thought needed clarification. Perhaps the most important is this concern or misunderstanding over tributaries. Obviously, a tributary can be a scenic waterway if it is qualified in its own right. We have, in fact, only one of the 9 scenic waterways in the state which is not tributary to something, so it would be a mistake to be hung up on that phrase, tributary. The Rogue runs directly into the Pacific Ocean. All other streams in the system, or ever likely to be in the system, are tributary to some other river. But I did have a problem myself as a former administrator with the phrase headwaters, because that is a very vague term. as I said in the letter, when do the little rills of water become a river? And this is not something that the Scenic Waterways Act can cope with without a specific definition. It does not follow, however, that because a stream is small, it cannot be a scenic waterway. I addressed that, I think, in the second page of that letter. The Act does suggest that it be of substantial of size enough to support substantial recreation use while still maintaining existing uses. But this this does not mean that it has to be a great big river. It does not mean that it must be raftable or boatable. Those are perhaps the main objective points that I think need understanding in this.
Yeah, the biggest concern that I've heard as Senate Bill 793 is perilously journeying through the House is that the effect of it would be to stop timber sales or to stop logging operations. So would that in any way be the effect of the amended bill?
I think it could not do so. I think clearly the proponents would like to regulate or perhaps eliminate these sales, but they have chosen the wrong vehicle in the Scenic Waterways Act, which in fact is worded in such a way that it strongly supports continuing logging. It could not, for example, stop a timber sale on Opal Creek. If a timber sale has already been made, it could not stop the logging. We're talking of federal land now. For better or worse, the federal government will prevail on that land. I sometimes think that's for worse, but it is, in fact, the truth. The Forest Service will do what it wants on federal land. It would be too bad if the state could not speak to them about their practices or policies. The state will do that in any case, I hope. This bill would give some force, I think, to the state's arguments, but it will remain a federal decision. This bill, which was passed as an initiative measure in 1970, was thoroughly seasoned by legislative committees before it ever became an initiative. It is somewhat weakened in form from its original introduction into the Senate in 1969. So the timber industry has had a voice in the initiative measure as it was passed in 1970, and probably for this reason more than any other, it speaks strongly in support of continuing timber harvest.
A major concern with the amended version, which you've reviewed and have further amended, or rather basically taken the concepts and reworded them more appropriately, is the Opal Lake through Opal Creek to the confluence. That portion is at most dispute. Is there within the Scenic Waterways law provision for different classifications of scenic waterways, for example, a recreational classification?
Yes, there are several. I think six, if memory serves. John Lilly's here, and I think
we could talk to Mr. Lilly about that
and bring us up to date on that. But
how important?
It provides by administrative rule for examining the area and classifying the degree of protection which the state would seek. I say would seek because in this case, the Forest Service remains the manager of that land. There are such classifications as natural, which would ask for virtually no development or change, the most restrictive, ranging down to a recreational river in which almost anything except outright destruction could be allowed to occur.
Just one further question. In your opinion, what is the importance of the inclusion of Opal Lake and Opal Creek in the Scenic Waterway
I have never been there. I can only speak really to the provisions of the law. I'm told it's a lovely stream. I would suggest that if it is to be included, it be specifically named and identified, mm-hmm. not simply mentioned as a tributary
correct.
To the Little North Sandy Am.
Okay, questions? Representative Ekus, then Representative Anderson.
Question came up, I guess it relates to substantial recreational values, that question. Also, I think in the tributaries, I think through a OFIC fact sheet here on voting, urging us to vote no on 793, and it mentions previous legislatures have carefully selected outstanding free flowing rivers for protection. Mentioned several, including one of which is the North Fork of the Middle Fork of the Willamette and Waldo Lake, of which were added in 83. I'm familiar with some of the area up there, but I always get the various forks of the Middle Fork of the Willamette all mixed up. But are you familiar at all with the...
I'm not familiar with the area, and that, I think, occurred in the last session.
Yeah, it did.
Long after I left.
Trying to get some sense of, whether the North Fork is a boatable section of water, and two, how large it is compared with...
I don't know, and I don't think it matters, because I don't think that the intent of the Act was to restrict this designation to boatable rivers. In fact, as I noted in my letter to the chairman, the Minim River illustrates that it was designated by the original initiative. It's not a boatable river. It might be possible to force a kayak down part of it, but it is not a river which will ever attract recreational boating. It is, much of the year, a very, very tiny stream.
And the Little North
Fork is one element of recreation use, but by no means the only element.
Representative Anderson.
I guess my question would be, in the history of the Scenic River designations and so on in the state of Oregon, how many clear cuts have been made after designation within that quarter mile zone in government-owned areas?
I think to get current information, you should probably talk to John Lilly, the current administrator. During the time I was there, which was from 1971 to 1978, there were several clear cuts made on both private and public land. As I say, the Act speaks so strongly in support of continuing timber harvest that under that Act, the state had very few tools to prevent any kind of harvest unless it was prepared to buy the land or buy the timber. I noted in the letter that during my 8 years, only one was not approved. There were, of course, other timber plans submitted which were amended after discussion with the state to overcome some perceived problem which would have been damaging to the scenic values. But they continue without any substantial change.
Okay. Further questions? Representative Cease.
Mr. Potter, would you care to comment perhaps a little bit further on the issue? Since most of this land is owned by the federal government, what impact this designation would have from the state, from the point of view of the state's public, have on the whole situation?
I think scenic waterway designation would impose a kind of moral imperative on the Forest Service to listen to the state, to talk freely with the state, which I think they should do anyway. But by this means, there will be a little pressure on the Forest Service to talk and listen. But as I pointed out, they will prevail on federal land. It's kind of a moral injunction, if you like, to listen to us.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Parkinson.
Mr. Potter, I've just got bits and pieces of it over the years, but I've never really understood all that much about the Forest Practices Act or whatever it is. But as I understand it, there is some degree of protection of streams in that. And could you just tell us real quickly what the difference between the forest, this area, how it would affect it, the difference between the Forest Practices Act and if it were designated as a scenic river?
I'm not well qualified to discuss the Forest Practices Act. I can tell you my layman's impression of it, really. It doesn't deal with aesthetic values in any effective way, at least that's been my experience. It's concerned with matters of fire hazard. It does address streams in a rather limited way, but it does not speak to scenic beauty as you or I might perceive it traveling along the road or walking through the woods. It is more concerned with maintaining timber values than it is with recreation or scenic values.
Thank you.
Further questions?
Mr. Potter, appreciate the letter.
Yeah, very much appreciate your letter. Representative Burroughs does. The committee does. Appreciate your taking your personal time to be with us today. And if you wouldn't mind sticking around, we might.
Sure, I'll stick
around. I want to ask you another question or two.
I don't know.
I'd like to ask Mr. Lilly from State Parks to come forward, please. Welcome, Mr. Lilly.
Good afternoon.
Within the Scenic Waterways Act, there are different classifications available. Could you review those for us?
The Act, Mr. Chairman, the Scenic Waterway Act allows for the department, with concurrence of the Water Policy Review Board, and after consultation with many state agencies and local government, to establish a management plan for each river that is within the system. Transportation Commission, in the initial years of the Scenic Waterways Program, established six classifications by administrative rule in order to segment or classify or categorize, if you will, various river segments so that they fit into a management scheme. Those classifications, as Mr. Potter has described to you, vary from what's called natural river area to a classification called river community area. The natural river area is the most pristine, primitive, wilderness-type setting, mm-hmm. where we're trying to manage for very little change by man that would be visible from the river. A river community area might be an area where there is a small unincorporated community, homes, stores, whatnot, where there the management is merely trying to have some kind of design review over the new buildings or mm-hmm. structures that are built so that they blend in with the scene, but they may be visible from the river.
What's in between? What are some other
There's a scenic river classification.
Mm-hmm.
There is a recreational river classification.
Would you explain recreational river, please?
Yes. According to the administrative rules of the commission under which the recreational river classification comes from, here the river is to be readily accessible by road or railroad.
Readily accessible by road or railroad?
Or railroad. There may be some developments along the shoreline and on the related adjacent land, and that there may have been some impoundment on the stream in the past, but it could mm-hmm. no longer be there.
Okay.
Examples of a recreational classification, recreational river classification, would be the lower 100 miles of the Deschutes River, where there's a railroad, farms, ranches, recreational home sites, and both private and public roads and utilities.
What are the other classifications?
There is a classification entitled natural scenic view area. that is an area along one bank of the river where there is...
Excuse me, repeat the bank.
Natural scenic view area. That is an area where along one bank of the river you would have very little development, if any, which would fit, if it were on both sides, it would fit into a natural river classification. But normally what we find is we have a view on one bank where there's no development whatsoever, no access, no development.
Mm-hmm.
Has been no change.
Okay.
On the opposite bank, though, there might be a highway.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Good example is driving up above Detroit Lake as you head up over towards Sisters. You see, you have the highway on one bank. On the opposite bank, you have really no development or very little development for some miles above the reservoir.
Okay.
The other classification is an accessible natural river area. Again, the situation is this. You have a rather primitive, undeveloped area with maybe a road, a lightly traveled road or a railroad going into that area, but that being all there is in terms of development.
Well, could that be a logging road, for example?
Could be.
A logging road would be permitted.
Yes.
In that area.
A good example of that kind of area is in the upper Illinois River out of Selma. In order to get into the Illinois River in that country, you have to drive from Selma to a place called Oak Flat. And it's a lightly traveled Forest Service road. Mm-hmm. There are some cabins and home sites in there, but they're set back from the river, not visible from the river. There's very little development that is visible from or railroad is fine, but we want to maintain the primitive character of the area, and that if we allow any developments in there, it should be development that's for a compatible public outdoor recreation use. But setting a standard that's based on, rather than commodity management, I believe that would be more of a standard on public recreation and scenic qualities.
Mr. Chairman.
President Parkinson.
Now, with this, you already have an existing road in the area, right, Mr. Lilly?
Representative Parkinson, I have not been in the area. I have been told that there is no road at present. And from what I gather from listening to the chair, there is a desire to build a trail up the drainage to Opal Lake, that most of the access from Opal Lake or into Opal Lake at this time is from a road above the drainage and down in over some steep country and forested land into the lake.
Okay, another question, Mr. Chairman.
Now,
say that it was proposed then for some logging to be done in this area and some roads constructed. Under the provision of your rules, would you not feel obligated to go to the Forest Service and request that that be done? Because it would be destroying the scenic value?
We would present a position to the Forest Service that under our classification and the classification that's being discussed, that we would like to see as minimal a impact from the view from the river as possible. That may mean right. Screening the clear cut from the view from the river corridor, from the river itself, by vegetation, leaving a buffer, an uncut buffer strip or a lightly cut buffer strip of trees, or possibly a topographic screening where the clear cut would be within the quarter mile but might be behind, hidden by a hillside or something of that nature.
Thank you.
But we would be trying to advocate, as at your direction, this standard that you may apply to this.
Mr. Chairman, I think the Forest Practices Act calls for 300 feet anyway.
That's
along
correct.
The riverbank or stream. Isn't that not correct?
100.
Representative Anderson?
50 each side.
50 feet each side.
We're taking sort of like economists. I keep getting different numbers.
Yeah, Mr. Lilly.
Mr. Chair, if I may respond to that,
please.
Forest Practices Act, and we have a little bit of experience in working with it on both scenic waterways and Willamette Greenway. The Forest Practices rules go a long ways to helping protect some of the fish and wildlife values and water quality. They do not address themselves to scenic qualities. They do allow, in many cases, harvest of trees down along the riverbank. but the trees are selectively fallen away from the river, and the riverbank is protected. But to say that there would be a buffer strip of no cutting within a certain area mandated by the Forest Practices Act would not represent the act as it actually works.
Right. Representative Anderson.
John, according to the Forest Service plans, and I'm not sure what a quarter mile, I think this map or mile squares, there are anywhere from 10 to 14 clear cuts projected, of which at least 8 of them are right on the stream bank. I assume then if you're going to protect scenic qualities that you are going to try to negotiate with the Forest Service not to clear cut down to stream banks notwithstanding, correct?
Chair, Representative Anderson, that's what we've been doing with the Forest Service on the North Fork, the Middle Fork of the Willamette, and what we've been able to work out with them in that situation is where a clear-cut unit is permissible, that there be a selection of the larger trees within the riverbank proper area, that they'd be directionally fallen away from the river, and that there would be no yarding along across the river, which is pretty much their standard practice. We try to get just as much as we can with them in order to protect those scenic values along the river. The watchword on the North Fork of the Middle Fork of the Willamette is we're trying to protect and preserve a natural appearing riverbank.
Right.
Well, Mr. Chair, I guess I just generally oppose the Oak Creek area designation because of the potential is there, not only from the state of Oregon attempting to preserve the scenic qualities in regard to the clear cuts, but also that, as sure as I'm sitting here, that the various preservationist groups, you can name a dozen of them right quick, from the Environmental Council or Audubon on down through, will be living on the doorstep of the Regional Forest Service officer saying the state of Oregon has designated this area as scenic. Now, what are you going to do about it? And I guess that's my greatest concern, is that that it's true that we're going to miss about 1 million board feet of logging in that area every year, which is equivalent to about 240 truckloads of logs coming out of there every year. That's my concern.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Burroughs.
If the timber industry asked me to go with them to the Forest Service, I would make it, or any of us would like to support this. You know, I don't know how many times we have to say it for the record, our intent is not to inhibit those potential timber contracts that have been in the works since 81, and whatever it takes to assure the Forest Service that that is in our intent, I think we're willing to do.
Representative Burroughs, I don't know if we're in a work session, I guess we are, but in rebuttal, I guess, that the legislature and the departments and everybody else here can write it in blood, and the environmental preservation groups are not bound by anything we might say here, and I'm sure that they want to go to the Forest Service Regional Headquarters and as far up the line to Washington, D.C. as they have to get rid of those clear cuts.
Well, that's not particularly relevant, Representative Anderson. Are there any objections to Representative Burroughs' motion?
What is the motion?
The motion is to amend the -5 amendments, following language, that there be a Section 2 added. It says Section 3 of this Act is added to and made a part of ORS 390.805 to 390.925. Section 3. For the purposes of administering the area designated under ORS 390.825 sub 9, the department shall, by rule, designate that area an accessible natural river. Julia? Whoops. Where did Troop go?
My children were small, I used to have those, Mr. Chairman, those harnesses that people put on their children. I thought they were atrocious. I may get one enlarged.
Okay, Julia, call the roll.
Too many mothers.
The motion is these amendments to the dash five amendment.
Could I speak on the issue?
Yeah, hold it. Okay, President Troop.
I have some concerns with what we're doing because we're creating a classification for Opal Creek and Opal Lake that is not reality.
Let me read this to you very clearly one more time. Without putting the legal garbage in it, it says, for the purposes of administering the area designated under, and it'd be sub 9, so refer specifically to Opal Creek, the department shall, by rule, designate that area an accessible natural river. You've not interfered the rulemaking process. You simply indicate the legislative direction that the area be accessible for the purposes of logging, for the purposes of protecting the scenic value, which would not otherwise be protected under the Forest Practices Act.
Okay, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, now, Representative Troop.
Help me understand this a little bit. It's not currently, it does not currently meet that definition.
That's correct, because it's not totally accessible. It's only accessible by that one road, which is normally closed, that goes along the Little North Fork. But there are plans to provide a road in so that the timber sales in question could eventually be logged. That is the turning point in the discussions that I've had primarily with members of the minority.
Okay.
As being the crux of the issue, that if there was some assurance that there could be, the area could be roaded so that it's accessible.
Well, I don't
My
like
understanding.
It. It's maybe necessary just to...
Mr. Read. Chairman?
Mm-hmm. Or is it true?
I have spoken before that I don't believe that there's any precedent problem here at all with going with the original proposal just to include Opal Creek and Opal Lake. We put a lake in last time, we put a creek in last time, if I remember right, and I think we did, didn't we? And
yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we had both in last time. I don't think there's any precedent setting. And so to the converse, I don't think there is a precedent set by doing what you're suggesting either. This is a politically expedient process in order to accomplish the objective and get 31 votes.
I absolutely
so
agree.
No way does this action indicate that this is something that we should use in the future whenever we're considering legislative designations of scenic waterways, whether it's the street out front here or any other waterway. We can do really anything we want at any time with those kind of legislative designations. The other action would not have set a precedent, and this doesn't set a precedent either. So if this is what's required in order to politically, expediently accomplish the objective, I guess I can hold my nose and support it.
Very good statement of intent, Representative Troop. You have stated it precisely, and I guess I would point out there are a number of ways that you can designate scenic waterways. One is through the study method, and we've heard testimony you should use the study, but there's nothing in the Act itself says any one way is better than any other way. Another way is by initiative, another way is through the legislative process, and you know the legislative process is a political process.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Troop.
I think that's true. There are three recognized acceptable ways of establishing scenic waterways in Oregon, the three ways that you talked about, initiative, legislative action, or Department of Transportation process. All three are as legitimate. It just happens to be whichever one the proponents of a particular measure choose to use.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Ickes.
I intend to vote yes on it, primarily out of political expediency, but at some point in time, I know we don't have much time, I would really like to hear from the Forest Industry Council as to why they think this is going to stop logging.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Troop.
I think that's a fair question. I tried to personally see in talking with some of the people from OFIC if by adopting this amendment that would ameliorate their concerns and if they were willing to come up and put it in the record. And their comments in response to that request was that they hadn't run it by their legislative
right.
committee, and they had this bureaucratic process that they had to go through in order to get permission to take a position. But I think that it would be appropriate to see if they might come forward and give us some indications of why they believe
the action that would go beyond your amendment would in fact stop logging in the area, if that's in fact what they've been telling some of the members. I'd like to hear it too.
Okay, would you like to hear it at this point in time before we take the vote?
I think that'd be helpful.
Mr. Angstrom, Mr. Wilson? Do bear in mind that some of, I've talked with members of the minority on this issue.
Yeah, I understand.
Mr. Angstrom, Mr. Wilson, would either of you care to respond to Representative Troop's and Representative Ekus' earlier query?
Al Wilson, Oregon Forest Industry Council. Through this process, we have told members of the legislature we think the Scenic Waterway Program is a workable program. It does not stop logging. It's a process that is, assuming it's not the highest designation, it's a process that we've been allowed to operate under. Our concerns are the next step in this process. We're dealing with a timber sale and on federal land that has been a hot one. It has been appealed by the proponents of the bill through the process. It's gone clear up to the chief of the U.S. Forest Service. He's cleared this timber sale. We clearly expect that the timber sale will go into the court systems next. We're fearful that this bill will be used in that federal court process or with the Forest Service to back off on these timber sales as a statement on the part of the Oregon legislature that this is an area that shouldn't be logged, and that's been our concern from the process, and that's the way we've explained it.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Troop.
So your concern is that if this bill is adopted, that this will be used in those federal proceedings either at the administrative level or at the in the courts to use as a justification to stop a timber sale.
Okay, I'm just
Mr. Chairman, a second question.
We're in a very tight time.
Okay, yeah. Second question, if I might. Which proponent of this bill has appealed those sales? Georgia Tia, Chuck Bennett?
I believe Georgia Tia first appealed the, and he told me that he appealed the Opal Creek sale at the beginning process, then dropped out. Some of the environmental groups that have been involved have appealed it from there on.
Mr. Chairman?
I just want to state that the amendment to the amendments that we are discussing now, I think, would clarify legislative intent. It's hard for me to imagine how anyone could use this in a federal court action. Representative Ekus.
Well, that was my question, which was leading to that question. Where even in the Scenic Waterways Act, where in this designation, and where with this amendment, is there anything where we say no logging in the area?
Mr. Chairman, we've viewed this thing as a policy of the state legislature. We assumed, rightly or wrongly, that it'll probably go into one of the higher categories of the Scenic Waterway Protection. And I think if it does go in one of those higher categories, there will be restrictions on it.
Okay, I think that's pretty clear. We really need to be on the floor. Some representatives have some other commitments. So, Julia? Yes, Representative Troop.
Call for the question.
Right. Thank you, Representative Troop. This is the question to Representative Burroughs' motion, which is to amend the -5 amendments.
Representative Anderson?
No.
Representative
Burroughs? Aye.
Aye.
Representative
Ekus?
Aye.
Representative Hill?
Aye.
Representative
Parkinson?
No.
Representative
True?
Aye. Motion is adopted.
Chair?
Representative Anderson?
I'd like to propose a conceptual amendment.
Yes?
That the State Parks Division explore the mining claims in the area for possibility designation and purchase of a state park.
Representative Anderson has placed a motion.
George is up for that.
A conceptual motion that added to this bill, but not to the Scenic Waterways Act. Who does a study?
State Parks.
State Parks does a study.
For the
suitability of the area as a state park. So discussion of Representative Anderson's motion.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Troop.
Could I ask Representative Anderson why he's proposing the amendment, get some idea of what I'm voting on here?
Well, it's an isolated area of approximately 2,000 acres. It's sort of an island up there surrounded by wilderness areas and scenic designations over the top, and I thought it might be well that it would be totally accessible to citizens in the state by having a park there.
Representative Burroughs.
I'm late for an appointment with the speaker now. May I ask the Representative Anderson a question?
Yes, please.
The area that you're talking about, is this part of the area that is there's potential logging contracts that are being what?
No.
No?
Well, no.
Okay. I'm going to have to oppose the motion because it's not been discussed in testimony, not been discussed with other members. It's, you know, we're at the 11th hour here, and there may be merit in the motion, but it's just not backed up with any kind of testimony at all. Further discussion on the motion. Julia?
Representative Anderson?
Aye.
I'll pass with Mary.
You're going to come back.
Representative Troop?
No.
Representative Trainer?
Aye.
Representative Girls?
No.
No.
No, motion fails. Representative Ekus moves.
Yes.
The dash five amendments as amended to Senate Bill 793, objections? So ordered. Representative Ekus moves Senate Bill 793A as amended by this committee to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Julia, please.
Representative Anderson?
No.
Aye.
Representative
Ekus? Aye. Representative Hill?
Aye.
Representative Parkinson?
No.
Representative Troop?
Aye.
Representative Trahern?
No.
Chairperson
Aye. Motion carries. Representative Ekus will carry the bill.
Is there a notice of possible minority report?
Both Representatives Trahern and Anderson serve a notice of possible minority reports, and Parkinson also. Anybody else? Okay, the chair serves notice of possible reconsideration of the vote by which we sent Senate Bill 572 to the floor. Any further business coming before the committee? We're adjourned.